Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I'm rubber, you're glue. Everything you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. I guess these are familiar phrases, right? I remember saying these phrases as a child to people who were making fun of me. It came from something that I was taught by adults when I was teased. Just don't let it bother you, they would say. You give them power by showing that they got to you. Sure, there's certainly truth to this statement, but many kids have interpreted this to mean that words are simply words, unable to harm and wound, as if they can truly be neutral and ineffective, lacking power and meaning. Words are active. They have the power to rally excitement or deflate enthusiasm. Words are rooted in who we are at our core, bearing fruit in our character. Meryl Streep, as Margaret Thatcher in the film The Iron Lady, said it this way: watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. What we think, we become. Words are not neutral and are often the root of our deeds. But sometimes, when our words are lofty, we may find ourselves unable to act accordingly. Author and pastor Adam Hamilton shares this story. Years ago, one of my friends sought to witness to his faith by placing a bumper sticker on the back of his Chevy that said, "I follow Jesus." I remember being out for a ride in his car when someone pulled in front of us just before a stoplight. My friend became angry, and when the light turned green, he sped around the car, pulled in front, and slowed way down. The driver behind us honked his horn. At the next stoplight, both drivers jumped out of their cars, at which time I heard the guy behind us shout, "Is that what following Jesus looks like?" Hamilton doesn't share how his friend responded, but oftentimes when we're caught in a similar moment of hypocrisy, we might use phrases like, "Do what I say, not what I do." Words and deeds are not so divorced from one another. And if we listen long enough and at the right times, words that may have previously been calculated and poetic can be messy and revealing. When reading the letter from James, many like to point out the contradictions found between James and Paul. Their letters both talk about faith and works. Paul understands that one is not saved by works. There's no way to truly earn salvation, but it's a free gift given. Then James turns around and says, says, "Faith without works is dead." Wait a minute. Who do I listen to? Well, they actually aren't saying opposite things. In fact, the differences we see between James and Paul are a result of different starting times and different emphases. Paul was writing to converts, those who must take the initial step of accepting God's grace freely, knowing that they can do nothing to earn God's grace. Paul is also responding to early church debates about Gentile converts following Jewish law. Paul did not want the law to become a stumbling block for new believers. Circumcision and food purity laws were not as important to Paul as Christian discipleship, communal living, and justice. On the other hand, James may be directly responding to a misinterpretation of Paul's theology, believing that one need not act in any moral way because Christians are saved by faith. James is writing later in church history to professing Christians who have already been justified, understanding God's free gift of grace, but who must now show that they are sanctified. We are indeed not saved by deeds, but for deeds. And so faith by itself, if it has no works, is not faith at all. In fact, it is dead, having no life in it. The reality is, James and Paul would certainly be in agreement on the relationship of faith and works. There's no such thing as an intellectual faith that remains in our knowledge and insight. We cannot truly speak words of faith without them overflowing into our actions. William Barclay talks about faith in this way. And for you math gurus out there, hopefully this will mean more to you than it does to me. I believe that the square on the hypotenuse of a right-angled triangle equals the sum of the square on the other two sides. And if I had to, I could prove it. But it makes no difference to my life and my living. I accept it, but it has no effect on me. We can accept a fact without it having any influence on our lives. On the other hand, I know that 5 and 5 makes 10. And therefore, I will resolutely refuse to pay more than 10 pence for 2 5-penny bars of chocolate. I take that fact not only to mind, but into my life. It's a belief that is ultimately acted upon. James condemns the idea that one can have profession without practice. His example, someone who is naked and hungry and hears from one claiming to have faith, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet does nothing to actually meet the person's need. Knowledge of Christ alone is not faith at all. For even the demons know truth about God and shudder, but that fact does not affect their barren faith. True faith is bound to overflow into action. So here is where we brethren might pat ourselves on the back, right? As brethren, we're often more than willing to do deeds, to serve, to act. We understand the importance of justice, serving at soup kitchens, clothing the naked, encouraging our young people to go to work camps and disaster response trips. Now, don't get me wrong, all of these are vitally important and can be faith-altering experiences. However, they can become a stumbling block when they replace faith development and profession. Even those who serve may not be doing so for Christ if they cannot identify that it is because of Christ's love for them that they serve others. The science of a pendulum is that when the pendulum swings too far from equilibrium, the force of gravity will accelerate it back towards equilibrium, but it often overshoots and winds up going too far in the other direction. And so it swings back and forth, hoping to find that happy medium where the force isn't so strong. Likewise, when humanity tries to correct a problem, they often overcorrect, and the pendulum swings too far the other way. While James is correcting misinterpretations of Paul's theology, brethren also need to be warned about swinging too far into deeds without words. James Ward wrote this poem. "What is salt without its flavor? What is light you cannot see? What's a ship without a rudder? Without fruit, what is a tree? Jesus said they're good for nothing, and he gave this warning call. If we speak and then do nothing, we do not have faith at all. We believe our true salvation comes by grace through faith alone, but true faith results in action. By our deeds, we make love known." We would be better off if we understood words and deeds as two sides of the same Christian coin, rather than opposing forces on a pendulum. Without both sides of the coin, we are at risk of hypocrisy and of misrepresenting Christ's love. And it was actually Paul who said, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." What we say and what we do need to both be representative of Christ's love. After faith formation hour this morning, you will have an opportunity to embody our final core value, wedding together your expression of Christ's love in word and deed. Love Feast is a rich embodiment of love professed and lived. In the sharing of fellowship around the table, in the movement of washing and breaking bread, we remember that God's love is not just relegated to words or just action. But God's expressed love through Christ, both in word and deed. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. God is one in both Word and flesh. Likewise, our Word and our deeds must be made one if they are to point others to our living, loving God. May we be courageous as we share Christ's love with new people in new ways and new places, being known as ones who are faithful in both word and deed. And may we start today, in this place, with this people, to share such embodied love. May it be so. Amen.